Are you ready? Let's pray, church. Father, we thank you and we praise you tonight for each and every one, all of our visitors, all of our guests, God, everybody that has came to fellowship and to enjoy your presence. And God, I pray tonight that your word will open up our understanding of our lives to how we can move forward and how we can begin, Lord, to be a greater servant for you and for this world. And God, I pray for whoever this is for tonight, that you will open up their life and let them see that there is a greater hope in Christ Jesus. And if there's anybody here lost and without the knowledge of Christ, I pray that your word would open up in their spirit, produce conviction, and draw them to an altar of prayer. In the name of Jesus, we pray all these things. And the church said, amen. We just want to say that we appreciate everybody that's here with us tonight. We want to thank you for making the drive. God has certainly not forgot about you. You may be sitting in here and wondering, well, I've not felt everything that I needed to feel satisfied. But I want you to know that the Word of God is the best thing I've ever found satisfied. The Bible says that we are begotten by the Word of God. We are drawn to His Word and His presence through worship, but we are begotten in our life through the Word. Do you believe that? Amen. Let's go ahead in the 9th chapter of the book of John. We'll go ahead and read a few verses and preach a little while. Preach with me tonight, church. And it says in verse 1, "And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" I'll go ahead and read verse 3. I don't want to leave it out. "Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him." Tonight, as we open up in preaching, I want to begin to talk about this scenario and this story that we encounter in the book of John. There is a man that was born blind. From the very beginning of his life, he was never able to see. And as they were asking about this young man, they come to realize that he had been born blind. But Jesus opened up a little passage here that sometimes when we get to the meat of the story, we miss the opening part of his discussion. Because you see, he was beginning to say that this man was not made blind due to any sin of his parents or to the sins of his life. So I'm going to speak to some of us tonight that may think that we're in our circumstances just because we've sinned and that we've came short, or that those that sinned before us have put us in a boat where we're never able to improve. But Jesus opened up and said that it's not any fault of our own sometimes that we walk through hard places, but there's parts and pieces of our life to where God can begin to have the glory. There will be valleys that you walk through that you didn't bring it on yourself. But there is just something that God saw to put you through it, that when you come out of it, that you will be a stronger individual to the glory of God. There's been many circumstances that I've been through in my life where I wondered, God, what? How many of us have asked this? God, what did I do to deserve this? What have I done to have to go through this? And you begin to question within yourself, well, have I done enough? Well, did I miss something? Have I messed something up in my life? Have I made so many mistakes that it's time for me just to walk through an eternal valley? But I want you to know that no valley is permanent. No discouragement is permanent. There is nothing that we face in this life that is permanent, because God does not have us walk through anything without bringing something great out of you. Praise the Lord. We could stop right there and go home on that, because if we learn to realize that the things we go through are just another opening, another breakthrough, another outpouring, another healing, hallelujah, we would not know how great that God is unless we let Him heal us when we were sick, and we wouldn't praise Him like we do if we didn't walk through some dark places. Because if we just knew that God was great and He never did anything for us, it'd be hard to believe with conviction. But in our life, we are blind to things. Say that with me. We're blind to things. Sometimes there'll be things you're going through, and I'm preaching to some people tonight, Doris. There's things that we go through, and we're looking back and we're saying, what have I done? You know, can I not get out of this? Have I done so much that this is something I'm suffering in? But Jesus opened up and was saying that it's not sometimes just because it ran in your family, That means that if you're an alcoholic and you think that it's your parents' fault you're an alcoholic, Jesus was saying that that's not the case. That there are some things that we choose of our own accord, and then there are some things where the Bible says that it rains upon the just and the unjust. You say, I don't want people to get caught up in missing worship in the Word because we're still looking at the situation and not letting God take care of it. Some of us may be in here and just wondering why it is that I'm going through this. We're not even looking for the answer. We're just trying to understand why it even happened to begin with. But sometimes we go through things so that God can open up glory in the problem. He can bring glory from trouble. I've wondered, you know, many times, God, I've asked this in my life, Lord, why did I have to go through having drug addictions and drinking addictions and addiction to lying and stealing and that kind of lifestyle? Lord, why did I have to do that? And I look at my parents' lives and I say, well, God, they raised me properly. And there's many parents that question within themselves, did I do everything right? Even when children begin to stray. And I begin to look back and I say, well, God, they brought me up in church and they've helped me every day, try to do everything they know to do. I still made decisions that were contradictory to my raising. But as we know that the good things that they showed in my life, train a child in the way it should go, and they will not depart from it. The good things that have been in my life and the help I've received, I now realize that it wasn't something that they had done to cause problems for me. But this was something in my life I went through, Doris, so that I would begin to realize just how real that God is. Everybody in here has a valley that you're going through. Everybody's got a problem that we're facing. And God doesn't want you walking out of here saying, preacher didn't talk on my situation. Because everybody's got a problem. Everybody has a valley that they walk through. And we're just going to clear it up right now that there may be some things the enemy's attacking you in. But it is something that is to help you grow as a child of God. It is not to tear you down. It is to build you up. Sometimes we are afraid of the enemy for the consequence of what he will destroy. But if you trust in God, you got nothing to worry about as far as your life and what you have. For he could take away everything that you possess. And if you still have Jesus Christ, you still have everything that you ever needed. Man, I'm getting ready to preach in here. Hallelujah. So I wanted to preach on that. Then he said, neither had this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. So he's saying, so that the glory of God can be brought from this blindness. Verse 4, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Jesus opened up and began to say this wasn't any doing of his own, but this is for the glory of God. And while I'm here, while it is day, I must do the work that God had sent me. How many of us have come to church before and not realized that it is day? The sun might be falling, but in this place it is day. Jesus was basically saying, don't waste time when you have an opportunity to do a better work than just sitting idle. Don't waste time that God has given you to be in his presence. I'm so thankful that God gives me time after time to appreciate the good things that he's doing. And while it is day in my life, while I'm able, while you're able, say that, while I'm able, while you are able to do the work of God, don't wait until it is night. For when it is night, it is our time to rest. And if we're in a season of rest and not doing the work of the day, we'll create a spirit of unrest. We'll lay down with regret, wondering if we should have done more at church. Or we'll lay down with that sermon that God had given us on our heart. Or we'll lay down with that money in our wallet that should have went forth to somebody else. We'll lay down with our cell phone knowing we should have just called them and told them that we love them. There's so many times that while you have the opportunity, we neglect to take advantage of the problems that are before us so that God can get glory. What I'm going to preach on right now is that though a lot of churches run away from people's problems and pat them on the back and tell them it will be okay. As the church of God today, we have got to learn to take a stand and look at problems in a totally different perspective. Jesus was not afraid of the fact that this man had been blind from birth. It did not matter of this man's condition, because no matter what the problem was, his compassion was greater than the problem. And we as a church, I need a great big amen right here. We as the church have to learn to have more compassion, that no matter what the problem is, that we're still able to love everybody, able to handle every situation, able to love the world as Jesus loved the world. You see, we may not have had to go through blindness in our physical bodies, but at some point in our life, we have been blind by problems. We have been shrouded by the darkness that sometimes in life will give us, not able to see clearly what tomorrow will bring. Wondering if our loved ones will live through the night. Wondering if that next bill will be paid. Wondering if those people that continually are attacking our spirit are finally going to let up. Wondering if the addictions that are holding people's lives captive, that the chains will finally break. Sometimes when we're blinded by the situation, it's hard to realize the greater works that are going on in our life. And sometimes you might be looking with the physical eye, but if you take 20 seconds of your day and close your eyes and begin to meditate on the Lord, in His Word it said, think on the good things of God. If we took time to shut our eyes and looked through the eyes of God through faith, we wouldn't see a problem the same way that we would in our selves. There's been many loved ones that had I looked with my eyes, they'd never be saved. There's many that have been bound that if I looked through my eyes, I would have never got to see them pray through. There's been many services, had I not kept preaching, that one soul would have went out lost without hope. So sometimes you've got to look through a new pair of eyes. How many of us know that without the blood of Christ, we would have never been opened up to a brand new vision that was given by the Spirit? This man was blind from birth, and Jesus had a solution for the problem. How many of you know that in that first verse it said that the blind man, he wasn't able to see Christ, but Jesus saw him? Praise the Lord. There may be times when we're looking up and praying for something huge and we don't feel like that God sees our situation. But I'm here to speak to somebody right now and to tell you that He still sees you. He still has an eye that is fixed upon you. That compassion never leaves the problem. The only time when we feel like we are abandoned is when we cannot see it, right? When we feel like we cannot see help, then we feel like that we are alone. We feel abandoned. We feel like we don't have proper support. But I want you to know that God has brought this message just for you. Jesus walked up to the man that was blind, and he, I'm sure, had a great, you know, movement when he did it. I can't simulate how he did it, but he put his hands down in the mud and began to gather clay. And I'm thinking, you know, at the time, well, I'm not sure what he's going to do with clay when he's going to put it in the eyes of somebody that cannot see. And I don't know about you, but if I was blind, the last thing I would want to hear is there's humor, but there's something spiritual. And my question to you tonight, church, is what was really in that mud? You see, the Bible says in John chapter 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and everything that was ever made or manufactured on this earth was built and created by Him. So He picks up the clay that was made of Him. And as we know, when these bodies are given up to this life, we go back to the dust of the earth. So He was picking up the substance of something that is essentially us when it's all over. When our bones erode and our skin essentially is decomposed, we're left to be dust of the earth. No matter how pretty a coffin, no matter how many vaults you lock that body in, it's going to go back to the dust. So He picked up the dust of the earth. Are you with me tonight? Do you feel this, where it's going in the spirit? He picked up this that was made by man, and he put spit upon it. And how many know that that was something that came from the depths of Him? Hallelujah. Without saliva, your teeth would not even properly whiten. They would begin to decay. There is space between your teeth so that saliva can move through and clean them. So there is a cleansing power to the power of saliva. So many of us may look at that and find it foolish and think, oh, he was was just trying to make something foolish of that moment. But there was something that came out of him that had a cleansing power. There's something about the blood of Jesus. When it begins to be applied to our life, that no sin that we have done is unforgivable. There's nothing we've ever done that the mercy of God will not reach out to and forgive. So he took that moment and he spat upon that mud and he placed it upon his eyes. And that would have been enough for probably me to stand there and say, well, what's going on? What are you doing? And isn't that, can you not see the ignorance of mankind probably around the people that were beginning to wonder what Jesus was doing? There were those that were religious in the midst. There were those that had been, they said that Moses is our master. Moses is the one that we follow. They were draped in robes. They were knowledgeable of the word. They knew everything else that Jesus had known. And there was a bit of a conflict. Jesus spat upon the mud and put it upon his eyes and said, go wash in the pool of Siloam. See, Siloam, from the town that he was at, was outside of where the religious lived. It was outside of the environment he had been in all his life. It was outside of every problem he'd ever had. I'm sure there's probably days, Erica, where he was trying to fumble around and find food and probably struggled within himself and said, why, God, must I be this way? And there's plenty of people that go every day of their life in suffering and saying, why, God, must I suffer this way? But I want you to know that God's compassion is here to change your life. It is here to cleanse your soul, to bring you peace of mind, and to open up your heart with a greater love. So he sent him forth to wash in the pool of Siloam, to wash off everything that had been man-made and everything that Christ contributed through his own saliva and through that spit and through that mud and through the obedience. As he washed this away from his eyes, he began to receive sight. So imagine the first time in his life was in the most foolish circumstance. If everybody knew that they could spit on dirt and put it on their eyes and be healed, everybody would be spitting on dirt and putting it in their eyes and being healed. But when you begin to talk to people about changing their lives and laying down their sin, you would be amazed at how many people will leave the dirt on the ground and they will not embrace a change for their life. Sometimes the problem isn't even the hardest thing. It's the fear of change. And I know in my life that I struggle with addiction so hard. And I ask God, is there freedom? Is there even a life for me to have? I cheated so many. I hurt so many. I caused so many problems from the actions that I'd taken. But when I see him coming forth, receiving his sight, I realize that is the saving power of salvation. And how that it washes away every sin that we ever committed. Oh, everything that we've ever done is cast away in the sea of forgetfulness. That means we don't have to look back in our history and say, God, I've done too much for you to save me. God, I'm unworthy for you to change my life. Lord, I'm not able to do it because I've messed up too much and I've made too many mistakes. And so many people sit back on the pew because they're so close to a new beginning, but within themselves they say, God, I've done too much. I've said too much. Lord, I've messed up too many times. But I want to let you know, no matter how blind we are to our problems, no matter if it's been since your birth, that the love of God is here through Jesus Christ's sacrifice, that we're able to have salvation and a greater life in him. Now, I don't stand before you as the same man that I used to be. You see, there was people that were religious after this man received his sight that began to question what Jesus had done. And as you read all the way through to verse 24, they were asking questions, well, who did this? How did he do this? And have you really been blind since birth? They even went to his parents and said, has he really been blind since birth? You see, they were upset because Jesus performed a miracle on the Sabbath, which at that time was forbidden according to their law. And so they had a little bit of a beef with Jesus, wondering how he could get away with something. So they were trying to find fault within the miracle that God had done. And I wish I could tell you, everybody that you'll encounter in life will embrace your salvation and pat you on the back and say, I'm so happy for you. But let me tell you, when your eyes begin to be opened from the sins that you have been delivered from, you won't even see the same way that you used to. The things that were once in darkness to your life, you'll begin to realize, hey, those things are wrong, and I shouldn't do those things, and I shouldn't talk about people, and I shouldn't go out and do things like that anymore. And your life begins to change as the blood of Christ works through you. But I want you to know that that man had to accept walking into the pool of Siloam. There has to be a choice and a decision from you, not from the preacher, not because I make you feel bad enough to come to an altar, and not because of anything else other than the conviction of the Holy Spirit as you feel it in your heart. Now, if you begin to feel that in your spirit, there is no better time than to come and pray when you feel the Spirit of God heavy on your heart. So if there's somebody in here tonight that's been blinded by something, just can't see the way, there is help for you. There is a love that's here for you. And I don't know if many people can see this the way that God showed me. But I just want to read a couple other parts here. We'll go all the way to verse 25. You can read this for homework. So they had asked his parents, and they said, let him talk. So then they come to him and say, give God the praise for this. For this Jesus that did it was a sinner. And so he begins to open up, and the blind man only knows what he experienced. He didn't know Jesus before this. He didn't know of his miracles. He didn't understand what had happened. He didn't see the mud. He only felt the mud. Do you understand where we're going? He didn't see the mud. He only felt it. So that which God will bring to you and speak to you about, you're not going to see it. But it's something that is to be felt. So when you feel God's conviction, then that is the time to yield to His Spirit. Jesus bringing that commandment for him to go wash is the same commandment that we live by the Holy Ghost. The same commandment that was given to that man to go and wash, to cleanse himself from his problem, is the same way that as we feel the Spirit, that is how we pray, that we are renewed. We read this in the Bible. It says to renew yourselves. It says to die daily into the flesh. How do we do that? Except through the Spirit. If we want to understand the will of God, listen, there may be people in here that think they can't ever understand the will of God or know what it is for their life. But when you pray through the Spirit, God will open up your understanding. There's some people that will preach you contrary to this, but don't be carried away by every wind of doctrine. The Spirit of God, in the Bible it says it is a teacher. It is to teach you in your daily life. So things that you want God to adjust, it's not just going to be by you saying in the morning, I'm not going to talk bad about nobody all day long. Let me know how that works out for you when you try to do it on your own. Because chances are, by the time you get through it, you'll be like, I can't believe that preacher said that we could ever do anything like that. By our commitment alone, it's not enough. The blind man could have spat on the dirt himself and put it upon his eyes, but it wouldn't have been anything compared to when he obeyed the commandment that Jesus spoke unto him. So there is something very keen about, man, I feel the Lord. There is something very keen about moving when you feel the Spirit of God wanting you to obey. Now, some of us may be standing and we see the pool of Siloam over on the other side. We're already, as God saves us, we're made and prepared, but we have got to let Him fully submerge us in the Holy Ghost. We have got to be totally submitting unto His Spirit. There are many people that go their whole life being saved, but not feeling the cleansing power that is given by the Holy Ghost. Listen, I used to cuss like a sailor, but when I received the Holy Ghost, not another word ever exited my mouth. I didn't ever have to worry if I was going to slip and stumble about it. When I was delivered and baptized in the Holy Ghost, I never have to worry about picking up another drug. Never had to worry about picking up another glass. Why? Because I was committed? No. There was a supernatural miracle that began to happen that the Holy Ghost gave that delivered my life from. Young people in here tonight, I want you to hear this. This is good teaching. You are cleansed every day of your life, not by your own commitment, but by the faith, believing, obedience that the Spirit of God will give you. If your peers are raising their hands and praising God, you You don't just do it because they do it, but you praise God when you feel the Spirit within you. We have got to learn to listen to the right voice. The Bible says that His sheep know His voice. There is a Spirit that will speak to you and lead you every day, and it will teach you. But you see, the problem is we don't want to be led another direction contrary to what we've known. There were people that were coming against Christ, not necessarily because the miracle was awesome and they were jealous, but it was going against everything they'd ever known. Listen, God uses things that go against human nature. Jesus could have walked to this man's eyes and touched them, as He did in other situations, and they received sight. But He was using this as an opportunity to teach those that were religious and those that did not believe. There was an opportunity here. And for your life tonight, there is an opportunity for you to learn something about what you're going through. As we opened up and said, it's not just because somebody else made it hard for you. That there are opportunities. Now, we could say they're problems, but I'm calling them opportunities. There are opportunities that we all go through where you could choose to say nice things or to speak doubt. Let's go back to the blind man's account. He opens up. His answer is simple. It's so simple, it reminds me how simple God is. He said, this Jesus, he was talking about the personal relationship. He said, whether He be a sinner or not, I don't know. He was basically saying, I don't know Him. But what I do know is I was once blind, but now, church, we were all once in a valley we could not get out of. And many people may try to come against you just because of the things you're going through. And they may question you and attack you and just never let you feel like that you're saved. But I want you to know that it's through the experience. The Bible says we are made to overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our experience, our testimony. Now, we've all been brought through great things. And I wish that we could sing one worship song and everybody come together in the presence of God. But I want you to know that there is a reason that people must come together and make the effort. Because there is something that you must do when the Spirit moves. There is something you must perform when God speaks to you. There is not a person under the sound of my voice that does not have the ability to obey the commandment of the Spirit. Not one. You mean even me, Brother Jared? Yes. Praise God. Every person that's in here, no matter how loud somebody preaches or how great they sing, we all have the same Spirit. The one that He saved with and the one He delivered us with. We all share a kindred spirit. Some people may come into church and act like they got something greater than you, but honey, it ain't no better than what you've got. I don't care how much they decorate themselves in suits and how many degrees that they possess in divinity. Just the knowledge of God is not enough to change your life. What I want to remind us is the kindred spirit that is within you, same spirit that's in me, same spirit that's in anointed singing, same spirit that's in sound teaching, same spirit that causes God's people to realize the need instead of fighting for the want. He said, I was once blind, but now I see. Now, we already talked about the scripture in John 1, but go with me over to Proverbs 29 and we will come to a close. Proverbs 29, verse 23. I'll go ahead and read it. It says, a man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. Verse 25 says, the fear of a man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Now, there's a lot of people, a lot of bodies in this room tonight. You know, a lot of people breathing in air, so clearly you're living. A lot of people with brains, you're clearly thinking. There's a lot of people in here, and you could look around at what you see with your eyes, and it would cause a fear to come within you to not move forward in God.
That's why this was brought out in the Word. It says, a man shall cause a snare of fear within you. So in other words, people, unknowing to their effect, may hinder you from obeying the Lord. But as we continue to read, it says, those that will persevere beyond that shall be safe. What are we safe from? Is the question. There is a peace of God that as you abstain from every stare, let me tell you, when you're desperate enough, you will not care what anybody thinks. People that are hungry, they don't care what food it is. They don't care where it came from. For if you have a hunger, they're going to go after that which will fulfill the hunger. And there might be a lot of people that make you feel intimidated. But remember, this blind man did not have his life changed based on what he saw. But he obeyed the commandment of God through Jesus. So I'm closing with this tonight. Remember, even though we're blinded to our problems, we serve a God that will speak to every valley that we walk through. Oh, I just have to thank God. I was once blind. But tonight, church, I look back from the pool of Siloam to where I came from birth, and I realize that it's no doing of just anybody that caused me to have hard times. And it wasn't any doing of anybody that caused me to make bad choices. But it served as God's greatest opportunity for me to have a new beginning. I don't preach to you as somebody that thinks he's better than anybody. I preach to you as a former addict. I preach to you as somebody that has walked through a few things. I don't just act like I've been through some things. I've been through tough times. I've been depressed. I've had fear come over me where I could not roll out of the bed. I've had my words literally taken from my lips and not able to speak because I'm so shy to tell anybody that there was something wrong. Oh, there were so many times that I hid the expression of my face because I was so afraid to show that I was in need and needed help. There's so many people just hiding because they're blind. But you don't have to stay that way. You do not have to continue to walk in what you feel like are your failures. You don't have to continue to suffer in life's valleys. For we serve a God. I serve a God that when we are blind, He opens our eyes. And I serve a God that when we doubt within ourselves, He causes faith to come alive. I serve a God that even when we're bound, He sets those that are captive free. I serve a God that no matter how lost we have made somebody, that there is nobody too lost that God cannot save. There is no alcoholic in this earth that God doesn't love enough for them to have a new beginning. And as we are made new creatures, all that God wants you to do through your own way, the way God made you, is to come to church every Sunday. And you don't even have to say it, but it's in your actions. You come in and you show God that I was once blind. This is what worship is all about. I was once blind, but now my eyes have been opened from my sins. That is where your praise comes from. It's not anything that you have to force. But when you look back at the time when your eyes were opened, then you're able to look into that city that you came from. You're able to look back to your past, and it becomes a praise and not something that you dread to talk about. He is here to deliver you from every fear that you're feeling. Go ahead and stand with us tonight, and I'll ask that we go ahead and get a song, because I could keep going on this all night long, but I want to make sure we get to altar call tonight. I want you to know that there may be some of you that you've heard this word tonight, and we've had the in the mud
You feel the love of God. You feel something. Just like the mud was applied to his eyes. You feel something within. And you're ready to go to the pool of Shalom. You're ready to move forward and come out to a new beginning. And God's commandment tonight through the Spirit is that if you feel that it's time to be washed away, to be cleansed in your soul, this is the time. When you read that scripture, it says today is the day of salvation. He was referring to while it is day, so that darkness will not overtake you. I know we've heard this cliche all my life, and I'm going to rephrase it a little bit. We do not have the guarantee of the future. We don't have the promise of tomorrow. We have no guarantees in life. There's so many tragedies that we're so numb to. We hear it on the news and we totally disregard it. When I hear those things on the news, I realize we don't have the guarantee of the next flight, of the next car ride, of even the next time we'll take a seat. We've lost loved ones here in this church unexpectedly, not to our own knowledge. If we had known that they were leaving this world, I'm sure we would have done a lot more different things. But if you never remember them for anything else, it's to remember them because they didn't have a guarantee. But there was something within them that caused them to know whether they wake or not the following day, they have a Christ that brings them to an eternal glory. Do you receive this tonight? Hallelujah. As they sing, as the altar has been opened, I would ask that you begin to pray and simply follow the Spirit. If you feel like coming, this altar is open. Go ahead and sing.